Sports Day for Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
7 minutes past six. Hello and welcome along to Sports Day. Well, it's day 16 of the footy frenzy. And tonight, the Swans take on the pre-season premiership favourites, the Giants, who remain miles away from the team that made last year's grand final. Now, speaking of which, the other footy frenzy that is being played out in the media is the location of this year's final game. It must be great for clickbait. For all around the nation, the whys and the why nots of the various venues are discussed on a daily basis, it seems. Be it Perth, Adelaide, Brisbane, Sydney, and even Melbourne is still being thrown up. Talk about playing politics with our state government still publicly saying they have a role to play in its negotiation. Spare me the posturing. Cop the extra year, even two, on the contract, but basically butt out and leave it to the AFL. There is surely another issue to focus on, and suggestions of looking for leverage, either financially or in gaining guarantees for future Brownlows, etc., is bordering on the embarrassing. Which leads us to which state does host the grand final. Now, taken in isolation, each could produce a compelling argument. Perth and Adelaide have great stadia, have great history as football states, and have a team each that could get there. Financially, it would also be a bonus. Sydney has the biggest capacity, it has the Giants, and is the biggest city in the country that would no doubt enhance the TV audience. But this decision is not one that can be taken in isolation. It's a decision that will, though, tell us a lot about the integrity of the AFL as a business and as a partner. And given that without the Queensland government's unbelievable support in the toughest times of this season, when borders were closing or in fact closed, when other states turned blind eyes to how desperate things were becoming, some saying one thing one day and doing a complete opposite the next, there is only one place the AFL can hold this year's grand final, and that is at the Gabba. Given things in Queensland stay relatively as they are. Yes, it has the least capacity. Yes, it won't produce the best outcome financially on the day. And yes, it has a cricket pitch in the middle of it. But those considerations in 2020 are an irrelevance. For without Queensland support, there would probably have been no successful home and away, and therefore no grand final, at least one that was played in October. Other states can vie for the other finals, but in my view, we owe Queensland, and the Gabba is the only answer the Commission can make to the question as to where the grand final in 2020 will be played. You may agree, you may not. The Harcourt's open line is open. 13 13 32 is the number. Scoop McClure joins us. Welcome to you, Scoop.
Hello, Jared. You and I don't always see eye to eye on these things, but we are in 100% agreement on this occasion. I don't see any alternative, not just for the plethora of reasons that you mentioned, but also logistically, Jared. I mean, unless you go there a week early to Perth, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. So that doesn't really fit the mould, you would think. And South Australia, I know, had zero cases today, but only yesterday went into further lockdown because they had a couple of cases. So Queensland right now makes the most sense. And then add in the fact that we owe them, given they've kept this season alive, I'm 100% with you.
I think that the AFL could make a decision to send the entirety of the finals campaign to either South Australia and Western Australia.
And do they need to do that?
Well, they don't need to do it, but they could do it. So there are other solutions.
As a trade-off?
Well, not as a trade-off, just because they thought it was going to be better with a bigger stadia, yep, more crowds, yep, more cash. But the cash factor at the end of the year, when the accountants do the numbers, would have looked a hell of a lot worse if
Queensland
hadn't have put up their, yep, hands and said, no, we will support you. You're not really the number one sport here, but we're going to have an open mind. We'll support you. Morally, I think the AFL Commission can't make any other decision. Who knows? There's a lot of people in the data room. There's a lot of people around that commission. They, yeah, may have all different views, but I just can't see any fair-minded person saying, no, we're going to give you a little bit of a few crumbs. We'll give you it might even give you a prelim final, but we're going to go over to Optus Stadium because on the day it may look better. But that would be for one day. For the rest of time, I think the AFL would say, we didn't make a good call here because we turned our, yeah, backs on someone who was there for us when we needed them.
When do you think we'll have a call, Jared? Because what are we, August 13 today, so in a regular year we'd be a couple of weeks away, yep, from the final starting. We've got another month and a half of the season, the home and away season, and then into finals. You'd think in the next fortnight the Victorian government will have to come out and say we're not in a position to host it. And then the
AFL, it doesn't really matter when they come out. I mean, the whole footy world knows that they're not in a position. I think they'll hold it back until the last possible moment, simply because this is such a moving beast that who knows what's going to happen in New South Wales, and therefore who knows what's going to happen in Queensland. But you would hold your cards pretty close to the chest, I think, just in case the infection rates in all parts of the country change.
Give us a call on the Harcourts open line if you want to have your say on this. 13 13 32 for all things real estate. You can speak to Harcourts. We're here for Macca's, McDelivery for when a Macca's craving hits. Bombers midfielder Darcy Parrish, another good game for him last night. And young McGrath, he's out of contract, Jared, and his numbers are going up every time he plays at the moment because he was their best midfielder on the day last night. And Matty Lloyd's going to join us in not too long either to talk about the Bombers. But last night was a fascinating game. Isaac Rankin had the ball in his hands and the game on his boot, really, with 60 seconds left. Decided to hold on to the footy and then didn't register a score. And Stewie Dew had his take after the game.
If he played on straight away and kicks a point, they've got to look at 30 seconds. It was a concern given the way they were moving the ball. So certainly think it was the right call to basically be, it's either a draw or we win. But the right call was to have a shot because I think there was probably 17 players inside 50. So good luck passing it.
Jared?
I absolutely agree. I think he did the right thing. Could have handballed it off immediately, but there was no guarantee that... who was it?
Weller, I think.
Yeah, Weller would have kicked it. He's probably a longer kick. But, I mean, this kid has got enormous talent. He had great faith in himself. He made his call. I think the only thing he did wrong was hook the ball a bit. If they had a ball...
Yeah, it was a skill execution error.
...landed in the goal square, it's going to get knocked over. And they get the result they're after.
A bit of other news today. Jacob Wiedering's re-signed until the end of 2025 for the Blues. So that is significant. And would probably right now, I reckon, if it was picked, Jared, would be in the squad of 40 for the All-Australian selection.
You have to be close,
I know that Harris Andrews and Darcy Moore and maybe a couple of others would be in the mix for key position backs, but Wiedering's had an outstanding year. And also, there's injury news at the Demons, unfortunately, and that is that Luke Jackson's gone down with a hamstring injury.
Yep.
Now, the word is that they think he'll be out for a month, but you've also got Max Gawn dealing with not only a sore shoulder, but also a sore knee with a PCL issue. So, Jared, a big game against the Pies and Brody Grundy.
Tom McDonald for me, particularly against Brody Grundy.
So you wouldn't bring in the Proust?
I wouldn't, no. I don't think Proust does enough around the ground. I know he can go
hasn't
forward,
et cetera. Hasn't been cited all year.
No, I think his days are numbered. I mean, he may in time get back in for one or two if Gawn continues to miss. But I think Tom McDonald is a better option in the ruck because he's much more mobile, gets more kicks, he's more flexible, et cetera. We'll go to Dandenong, though. 13, 13, 32 is the number. Where do you think the grand final should be played and why? Max is in Dandenong. Welcome, Max.
Good day, guys. Hope you're all well. I'm a traditionalist at heart. However, some things can't stay the same forever. So let's have a night grand final at the Gabba. Let's bring this game into the 21st century. The AFL can have their night grand final, which is they've wanted for years. Have all the other finals interstate so they can have their cake and eat it, which is fair enough. Let's have the grand final parade interstate, maybe in Queensland. And let's move this game. The last I checked, it was the AFL, not the VFL. Let's take it into the 21st century where it belongs and let's move forward.
Appreciate your call, Max. 100% agree with you. To Theo in Clayton, you're next.
Good evening, Jerry. I just asked, will they still have the public holiday if the grand final's not in Victoria?
It's amazing how often that question comes up, Jerry.
See, I've heard the answer to that. I think the answer is yes, but it may well not be that particular day before that grand final, whenever it is played. But rest assured, I can't imagine the public's going to miss out on a public holiday.
I think the government have actually said on the record in some capacity that they'll move the public holiday final.
To Malvern, over to you, Mel.
Hi, guys. Now, listen, I'm thinking totally outside the square.
Yeah,
we like that.
And I've put the amazing what they've done for our football, the Indigenous community. I think they should go to Darwin.
Well, that's an interesting thought, Mel. and you're entitled to it.
There's no capacity, though.
I'm not sure there's going to be much support for it in Darwin as a choice or as a an option.
Mm.
Not enough capacity, too far to go. Weather's not exactly right at that time of the year. But ultimately, I don't think we're indebted to Northern Territory like we are indebted to the Queensland government and the Queensland people.
Keep your calls coming on the Harcourts open line. 13 13 32 is the number. Jared, just before we go to break, I just want to go back over one thing and clarify. You've been calling for weeks now for Tom McDonald to have a position switch just to reignite his form. We know he's been struggling up forward. You wouldn't have thought probably the ruck would be that position a couple of weeks ago.
I know. I think the ruck's been an option for him for a fair while, and he's been played there a little bit. But I thought last week in the ruck, he did a fine job. His pressure points around the ground were probably almost at a career high. He looked as if he was running into some form. I think playing on the wing is an option for him if Max Gorn is available. But it doesn't sound great for Max Gorn, I've got to say. I'm not sure he's selected or not just at the present time. But if he's got a couple of issues, it'd be a big call to risk him again, even though we all understand the importance of the game. I just want to make one point, if I can, Scoop, before we go, because it's on behind your head.
Well, Rankin's actually just about to get it.
And we're going to talk to Matthew Lloyd, and we're going to ask Matthew Lloyd about Ben King, because last night he kicked one of the finest goals I've ever seen by a bloke of his size, which augurs well for the Suns. It was a goal of just incredible athleticism. He nailed it, and I know he missed one 5 minutes later, which may well have won them a game, but gee, the upside with that kid, just with his athleticism and his football nous, it is so exciting. We're going to take a break. Harcourt's open line is 13 13 32. Up next, a bloke who played in that game, Bombers midfielder Darcy Parrish, to join us.
Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
It's past six. We're here for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy and Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. Skip, I just got a text saying that there's about to be another announcement of another footy frenzy, a big bash of footy, if you like, 17 days, 18 games. So stand by for that announcement. And just having a good eyes at Rankin's kick again behind you, I reckon if I was Stewie Jew, I'd take the next time they train flat out, I'd take 10 balls out and say to Isaac, righto, Isaac, from 55 metres out, you prove to me you can kick it that far. That may well have been his only mistake, overestimating the length of his kick.
He's a pretty big kick. It seemed to me a tired kick. I've seen him in an under-18 game kick comfortably 55,
well, that's why
meters.
You do the test, because if not, I mean, ultimately, I think his biggest issue was accuracy. If he puts it to the top of the square,
well, he gets punched over.
And he's got that kick in him without doubt, then it gets punched over, and that's, I think, would have been the better play rather than to kick the goal.
I wonder where Darcy Parrish was on the ground when he was watching Isaac Rankin go back and what he was thinking, because Darcy himself, Jared, was excellent last night. You and I were texting about him and McGrath's game. 20 disposals, 8 tackles in the draw. He's averaging 16 a game and 3 clearances. And he joins us online. Darcy, thanks for your time. Where were you when you were watching Isaac Rankin decide the game?
G'day, boys. Yeah, I was pretty nervous at that point when Isaac had the ball. I think I was in between the goal and himself, so I was just praying that he shanked it and I just got it out of bounds. So it was nerve wracking them last few minutes, but it would have been good for the spectators to watch, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was a fantastic spectacle. I'm always left a little bit wanting with draws, Darcy. Would you have liked to have played extra time?
I would have liked. It was such a weird feeling. I was speaking to Andy and a few of the other boys as well. I wasn't too sure whether to be upset or happy. It was sort of a weird feeling amongst the group. But yeah, extra time would have been nice, and to get a decider, I suppose, would be a bit better feeling. So, but yeah, draw is definitely different, and I think that's my first one I've been a part of.
Well, let's hope you don't play in too many more, because they are weird. I reckon there's always a winner and a loser in a draw. But last night it was a little bit hard to even find that winner and loser, because the Suns dominated to half time. You dominated the second half. You should have put them away. You didn't. And then they had the final chance to win the game. So it was very much a draw.
Yeah, it definitely was. Like you said, the Suns got out to a bit of a flyer in that first half. And I guess to the boys' credits, we bounced back and stuck to our system and, really gritted it out. But couldn't couldn't get the win in the end, but yeah, 2 points is better than none, so we'll take it.
Darcy, we always hear players talk about, oh, well, we train certain aspects of the game. If we're in front late, Jared, if you know the score's a level we need to score, if we're a point behind, that all happened, all those three scenarios happened in the last 5 minutes. So as a mid, what are the sort of messages going around? What game style do you go towards so late in the game and the scenario's changing so quickly?
Yeah, I guess it's all pretty different for each side, but we like to just keep it pretty similar to how we've played the whole game. So we try and say not play to save the game, just to play to win. So that's our mentality late, or if we're up, if we're down, it's just pretty similar throughout the whole quarter or different times of the game. So it's just sticking to our principles, sticking to our system, and really backing it in. And I guess everyone just playing their role to a T. So that's what we try and stick at.
So when you went in front late, Darcy, there wasn't the message to go around, particularly to the mids, to try to hold on to the footy and slow things down?
Oh, I guess you're reading the game in that way a little bit. It's sort of the way we play anyway. We want to maintain the ball and, yeah, get the ball as soon as we can so we can, I guess, fill up a bit of that time. But, yeah, we're still aiming to just play our way, and I guess that's the best way we know, and we just, yeah, try and do that.
A lot of people think I overemphasise the importance of a smother and being able to technically apply a smother in the game of footy. I think last night proved once again just how important it is with McGrath effectively, I think, saving the game by his unbelievably good smother.
Yeah, it was a bloody good effort there from Andy there late. I guess, yeah, it just showed how important the smother is. So it saved us the game, and, yeah, we got the result we did because of it, I think.
Can you tell me whether you practice that, whether you've been taught the technicalities of the smother or whether it's just an expectation that you know how to do it?
Yeah, I couldn't say too many times I've practiced the old smother at training, so it's probably just back to, yeah, I guess, a bit of the way he's sort of played and grown up. I guess we always try and smother the ball in any way we can. But, yeah, it's just a perfect opportunity for Pidge to just put the hands in front of it and, yeah, stop that goal.
His season's been unbelievable. Jared and I have been speaking about Andy McGrath. Darcy, is he loom as the next captain, you reckon?
I guess, yeah, I'm pretty close with Andy. And, yeah, the growth amongst the group and the respect he has amongst the group already at such a young age is extraordinary. And, yeah, I'm very proud of him and to be his mate. And, yeah, I think he's sort of got all them attributes to one day lead the club going forward. But he's had a terrific season so far, like you said, and his growth has been really important to our game and our system. And, yeah, hopefully he can continue that.
I saw him with Adrian Dodoro at Bay 101, the number one pizza place in Port Melbourne, a couple of years ago.
Coffee down there at
just,
Bay as well.
Yeah, just as he was being recruited. He's pretty good on the tooth as well. He just chewed through a family pizza pretty quickly.
Yeah, he's been munging on a few pizzas in me up here. So, yeah, he's got a good tooth.
He might be sinking his teeth into a new contract pretty soon, Jared, given he is out of contract.
Scoot McClure knows everybody's manager, and he gets all the details from these people. So tell McGrath, don't go anywhere near Scoop if he doesn't want it broadcast nationally.
No, that's mean. Darcy, you're in your fifth year of footy now. How long do you reckon it takes, or how long has it taken you to feel really comfortable at the level?
Yeah, I guess for me, probably, I reckon last year it sort of, my confidence and belief really stuck in.
Yep.
I guess I started the season off in the twos and there wasn't a spot for me in the side, but then that belief and that confidence, I guess, grew throughout the year, and spoke to Woosh and the coaches, and they just told me to stick to my strengths and, yeah, just believe in myself a fair bit, and then just took that in throughout most of the last year, and yeah, I felt really confident at the level, and, yeah, I think probably midway through last year is when that belief started the game.
20 disposals last night. Normalised, that's around the 24 mark. 16 on average. And I sort of take averages at times, unless you know and follow the person, you know, very closely. Averages can be distorted by one or two bad games. But what would you go into a match expecting to return by way of getting your hands on the ball? I know there's defensive work and structures and strategies and tackles, etc. But by way of playing in the midfield, you are a ball getter and creator. How many do you need a quarter?
Oh, yeah, I'm not too sure. I'm not really fussed with the touches and that sort of thing and just trying to play my role. But I guess it was good last night to get a few tackles. The defensive efforts is what we really respect at the club. So that's always nice. And we've got plenty of blokes that can rotate through there. So I think a lot of blokes put their hand up last night and contributed getting the ball or defensive acts, like you said. So it was good across the board.
Tough game, a couple of games coming up. You've got the Bombers, the Saints next at the Gabba, and then you've got the Tigers up in the Dreamtime game at the D, Dreamtime in Darwin.
Yeah, that'll be really special to play up there. So looking forward to that one. We've got coming off the short break this week, so looking after the bodies, but we're ready to go again, hopefully. So, it'd be a good couple of weeks, and hopefully we can all put it together and get a couple wins.
Darcy, great having you on. Good luck for the rest of the year.
Appreciate it, boys. Thanks for having me.
Darcy Parrish there for DrinkWise. We're all a little stressed and anxious at the moment, but remember, if you're drinking, please do so in moderation. He speaks really well.
He does. He does speak well. I think sometimes he's been a bit harshly treated at selection, but I know one thing. If he's averaging 30 possessions a week, he's not getting dropped. I know he's playing his role, but you get your average up around the high 20s.
He's just a good player.
He's a good player with the ball. He's going to be an even better player if he gets the ball more.
Yeah, I agree. When we come back, I want to talk about tonight's game. I think it's a really fascinating game between the Giants and the Swans.
Do you think there's a flogging coming?
Well, I just get the sense that the Giants are going to click at some stage. And I think Sydney have been extremely competitive for weeks now. Mm. And I wonder if they're going to have a low. But I want to talk to you about one of the Giants' stars and where he's playing. We'll do so after this. This is Sports Day for Kia and Red Energy.
Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Kia offering you value you can trust in Australia's best 7-year warranty. Matty Lloyd's to join
Looking
us
forward
still.
To Lloydy.
Yes, on the phone is Lloydy. I think he's revved up as well. But first, Stomp News headlines with the birthday boy. Tony Tardio for Urban Armour, Australian-made hand sanitizer. We might get some Urban Armour and some Urban Ales.
I'll tell you what, when this COVID stops restricting us, there'll be a hell of a celebration with the Urban Ale.
And there's a celebration today. Happy birthday, Tony Tardio. Good evening. Welcome back to Sports Day. Jared Healy and Sam McClure with you up until 7 o'clock. The footy frenzy continues tonight. Jared set off the top. It is day 16. The Swans and the Giants at Optus Stadium. No Phil Davis, no Shane Mumford. They're both having a rest. But Jared, why isn't Josh Kelly playing more in the midfield?
I don't know the answer to that. I know he's got a huge tank, a running machine. Yeah. His numbers are well down. I don't think he's having a great season. Mm. And I think that's probably reflective of the position he's played.
But it's the chicken and the egg here. Like, I don't think he's having... I think he's having a bad year because he's being played out of position.
Well, there are some wingmen having good positions. Like, Kieran Cluggage is a wingman.
As well.
That could be so, but there is not a lot of opportunity in the forward line, once again, because they're inside 50 numbers that are an incredible low. In fact, they'd be out of the eight if it wasn't for their accuracy, which is something I told you on Monday or Tuesday night. They're a really interesting watch, I think, the Giants. And Kelly, who's one of my favourite players to watch.
Me too.
I would like to see him through the middle of the ground because he's a devastatingly dangerous player when he's got the footy, but he's just not getting anywhere near enough of it.
I just find it fascinating that a bloke that they've essentially given a 10-year million-dollar deal,
ten-year,
$10 million contract, bigger than Buddy, and he's starting games at half forward. It's just got me very confused. He's named on the ball tonight, along with Cornelio and Taranto, which I think is absolutely their best starting midfield. Hopper and Ward to come off the bench, but it's going to be interesting. I actually smell a pumping tonight.
Blakey back in. He's had a poor year. Second year, very talented kid. Let's see how he goes after a couple of weeks out. Zach Foote is a debutant. He's back in. And the Irishman, Colin O'Riordan for the Swans. They've got their issues. Alir out. Ling out. Elijah Taylor, who is going to be
plays
a real
on
star
Cameron,
out.
Cameron, Jerry. Rampy.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean,
undersized.
There's three of them, so they'll be undersized. Somebody will be playing small. And if they get the ball in there often enough, they could do some damage.
I just keep feeling like they're going to click at some stage and then look out, but they haven't done it so far. Still to come on Sports Day for Kia and Red Energy, Matty Lloyd on the line right after this, and then the Rain Man from Ladbrokes still to come.
Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, for Kia and for Maccas. Get a free Big Mac with orders of $25 or more via McDelivery. That sounds juicy. And you can join us on the Harcourts open line at any stage, 13 13 32. Jared.
Give us a call, 13 13 32. I was watching last night, Scoop, and I saw one of the most amazing goals that I've seen kicked by a bloke of his size.
Oh, the Ben King moment.
The Ben King moment. It was may well be the finest goal kicked by a bloke of his size. And then I thought to myself, he's had Lloydy as coach. And then two and two were put together. That's the good news. Lloydy joins us on the line. Welcome to you, Lloydy.
Thanks, Jill. I'm surprised it took you so long to work that out. So,
you must have been sitting there proud as punch when he turned on one of the. It was one of the goals of the season.
He was proud until about 60 seconds
Shut
later.
Shut up, reckon, Scoop. Lloyd. That's the punchline. And the bad news, Lloyd, is when he laid back on that shot for goal that could have won him, and I thought, oh, Lloyd, he's not going to be happy with that.
Yeah, I was nearly going to send out a text telling him he got too close to the man on the mark. Sam and I were watching last night together at the end. Well, we cheered when he hit that goal, but then thought, he's got a bit too close there. And I think he's a better set shot than Max King. He has been through his time, and some people ask me about the differences between the two of them. So normally he eats those goals for breakfast, I mean. I didn't slip too much last night, Benny. Disappointed with that miss, but he's been a star so far this year.
Yeah, no, it was an incredible goal. It was a great moment. Yeah. I thought it was going to lead to their victory, but not to be. The Bombers had the measure. They should have probably won. But just on the goal kicking, Lloydy, there's a plague of guys who lean back, whose weight, it's almost like the reverse pivot in golf. I'm not sure if you play golf, but when you should be going forward, you're going back and end up slicing. And it's the same with guys who lean back on the ball.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And Charlie Dixon's, you know, he's wasting a lot of his good work doing exactly what you just spoke about, Jared. And I was always big, you know, when working with players about your momentum, you know, coming towards the player on the mark. You know, you should be landing with another step forward. You're heading towards your target. And too many of those guys, if you could actually, they could press pause when they're having their shots for goal, they'd see that they're, you know, heading out to the right, heading out to the left, their shoulders are pushing back. And that's why I always thought Travis Cloke and, you know, Severio Rocco and those guys were better from around the 50-metre arc because they had to fire through the ball where they often steered at them when they were 30 metres out, which is what gets so many players in trouble.
It is the telltale sign, though, isn't it? And you've pointed it out, the stationary support foot translates as you kick the ball. It goes forward by somewhere between half and a metre. And guys who lean back, they land in exactly the same spot. Sometimes the foot doesn't even move.
Yeah, that's right. And it's something that, it's interesting. I was chatting to a player, I'll be honest, Josh Battle, I talked to a lot about his footy, and he missed some bad ones early in the year. They played Carlton. He had a great game, but he kicked one goal free, and he said, oh, could have been a brilliant game, but if you kick three or four instead of one, what a difference it makes. And he said to me that he'd been working a lot as a defender and a wingman, so he hadn't been probably practicing as much on his craft as he needed to. And he said, you know, I've probably got what I deserved in those moments. So he's ramped up, you know, having hundreds and hundreds of shots now because he's been thrown around everywhere. And I think that just says a lot about the modern-day player, that if you're in defence or you're in the midfield, they probably don't practice the craft like they need to and just seeing critical goals missed when it should be right across the board, hundreds of shots. Forget about, you know, what the sports science and them. I think we've gone past that now and back towards getting the craft right. And yeah, I think too many games are being lost. You know, you see Melbourne and Collingwood and all these teams just blowing golden opportunities with their set shots. Adelaide were the same the other night.
Lloydy, I know that we joke about it with you a lot, the relationship you have with the King boys and the fact that you coach them. But how much work did you actually do with them specifically on their goal kicking?
We're the absolute pros. Sam is that they're forever, and Battle's the same thing. They're the types that just are at you. You know, not wanting to go inside. They might be saying team meeting wants to start, but they just want to keep at it and at it on their craft and below their knees. You know, I've never seen players like it, but it's not by fluke. I often talk about James Hurd, that goal he kicked where he snapped that ball and he hugged the fan in the crowd. Yep. I saw James rehearse that kick hundreds of times. He'd get a wheelie bin out and there was 40 balls in the bin and he wouldn't go inside till he's finished the wheelie bin with 40 of those shots. So it's not a fluke, and that's where the Kings, I think that they're pretty sound kicks for goal at their age. You know, they've got a routine already at 18, 19 years of age because they're sort of known that's what they've needed to do from 17 years of age. So they're very switched on. Got 96, 97 in their ATAR scores. So, yeah, very, very switched on boys they are.
I love Max King's hands, Lordy. I think the great big men all have good hands, and his handball skills are elite. Last night's draw, how'd you sum it up? An opportunity lost for the Bombers or an opportunity lost for the Suns?
Jerry, I think it sums up where the two clubs are at, that they both aren't good enough to put teams away. And the Bombers have been in a golden opportunity to seal final spots over the last 4 or 5 weeks. But
yep.
You know, I know they've had injuries, but they've sort of just haven't been good enough. Were belted by the Bulldogs, belted by Brisbane. Giants should have put them away, didn't. And then last night, they weren't great in the first half. And then the Suns, only been trying extremely hard. No matter what happens, you can see they're a much, much better side than they've ever been. But again, don't really know how to win and put away teams at key moments. And that's the difference, I think, between West Coast. They just put Carlton to the sword. If you can't play for 4 quarters, they'll put you away, as will Brisbane, as will Port Adelaide at the moment, as will Richmond. So that's probably the difference between, and Geelong. So that's probably the difference between that top five and where Essendon and the Gold Coast Suns are at.
You think Essendon will play finals, Lordy?
I don't think so, Sam. I think that they've got St Kilda and they've got Richmond in the next 2 weeks. And on their form, I just don't think they're good enough to beat those teams. St Kilda were very poor against Geelong, but I reckon it was the game that they didn't look like they were on from the first minute. To me, it looked like they were a team that come in after a 4-day break and were right off. So I think you'll see a different St Kilda team. And unless Essendon improved by 15%, at least 10%, I don't think they beat St Kilda. And then Richmond, I don't think the Bombers have beaten Richmond for 5 years. So that just shows where they've been at compared to the top-end team. So unless they can win one of their next two, I don't think they make it.
I'm a big fan, Lordy, of your little podcast that you do, or your TV show you do with Damien Barrett on the AFL website, Access All Areas. But I've got to say, I thought you were pretty harsh in your assessments on a few of the tackles. I thought the Patrick Cripps one, this nonsense about the fend off, according to my understanding, there are two types of fend off, and he was way too short. And the other one on Nicholas Natanui, no prior, tackled immediately, ball knocks out in the tackle, play on.
I just wondered how he disposed of that one, Jerry.
Well, you don't have to dispose of it legally if it's knocked out in the tackle.
And sorry, are you saying the Cripps one should have been or should have been?
No, I think you guys are in agreement is that it should have been.
No, I think that, from my understanding, there's two types of fend, which is the first I've ever heard of this, but doing the research, I'm hearing that guy didn't have prior opportunity. He put his hand up so he didn't get killed.
Yeah, no, that's right. Mm. But as they say in the interpretation, you fend off.
Yes, that's what I've been led to believe. But my further investigation tells me that there is a fend and there's a fend. But nevertheless, Lordy, let's hope that this thing is more clear next year, because it's as clear as mud at the moment.
I think it needs to be, because I think the AFL had an unbelievable year in terms of what they've done for this game. But as I said, I heard Stephen Hawking say these players are good, they'll work it out. But there's never been so much confusion in the game from coaches, players, so many intelligent people. Yet they shouldn't be this confused going into games of footy.
And, Lordy, as we let you go, just in one word, if you can, where should the AFL Grand Final be in 2020?
Can I give you two? I'd be ecstatic if it's in Perth or Adelaide.
Gee.
Just a spectacle on either of those two would be unbelievable.
He's gone against the editorial. Lordy, thanks for jumping on. We appreciate it. I hope the homeschooling's going okay with the kids. We'll talk to you next week.
Great. Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Jerry.
A Ladbrokes odds update with the Rain Man.
Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. An odds update for Ladbrokes. Back yourself with Ladbrokes. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Rain Man Tommy Hackett in just a second, but first, Damien Barrett reporting on AFL.com, Jared, that Ben Cunnington's year is over.
No, that's no good.
Damo saying, with 6 matches remaining, North Melbourne Medicos on Thursday abandoned plans to have the 2-time BNF winner return from a painful nerve problem in his back, which has resulted in a lack of strength in his quadriceps. So that is that sounds nasty, Jared.
Pressure on the old femoral nerve, Scoop, something you wouldn't want to have. It's tough. Probably a disc problem. It's pressing on the nerve.
So what will he need, surgery or...?
Wouldn't be surprised.
Geez, that's bad for North Melbourne. But we will get to our Ladbrokes odds update with Tommy Hackett. And it is, Tommy, the battle of the bridge tonight. But this time it's in Perth. I'm not sure how many bridges there are in Perth. Jared, you're our resident Perth expert. But it's Sydney against GWS in WA.
There
Tommy,
are a couple
welcome.
Of bridges over there. Which one are they fighting over this time?
Well, whatever bridge they're fighting over, it's the Giants. The punters think will get the job done. Very firm favourites here. They've been backed into $1.26. Sydney Swans, very unpopular punters. They're out to $4.25.
She's $4.25. Hey, back to footy in a second. Just change of code quickly. The Storm and the Roosters, speaking of Sydney, I think they're at the SCG tonight.
Yeah, it should be an absolute corker. These two teams met last month at Suncorp Stadium, one of the best games in NRL's history. Hopefully we'll see a repeat of that tonight. Sydney Roosters are favourites at $1.58, but all the late money has been for the Melbourne Storm. That was $3.30 earlier in the week, now into $2.50. So Punt is very, very keen on the Storm tonight.
Storm, money coming for the Storm, Jared, despite the fact there's no Toucan, no Munster, no Smith is very interesting. Tomorrow night looks a belter on paper, Rain Man, the Power and the Cats.
Yeah, another game should be an absolute cracker. It was very close betting-wise early in the week, but money late has come for Port Adelaide. They're now firm $1.78 favourites. Geelong out to $2.15.
No one rates this catch.
No, it's a weird one given what they did to the Saints. Hey, what's the money doing for the D's and the Pies, given Jackson now out for a month and not sure if Gawn's going to play?
Yeah, not a huge amount of movement in this one yet, Sammy. Collingwood are still the favourites at $1.80. Melbourne, $2. I'd suggest Collingwood will start firmer than that. I think they'll be pretty well back tomorrow.
And what about the Coleman medal that's compressing with a couple of big blokes at the top?
Yeah, really interesting betting market, this one. Josh Kennedy's still the favourite at $2.10, but plenty of value around behind him. Tom Hawkins is $4. Charlie Dixon, $5.50. Charlie Cameron, $8. And Jeremy Cameron rounds out the single figure odds at $9.
Thanks, Tommy. Tommy Hackett there, the Rain Man, introducing the switch from Ladbrokes, the power to pick your promo. Back yourself. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858. What's the margin tonight that the Giants win by, Jared?
37.
I'm saying 40-plus. We'll see you on Monday. Enjoy the footy. Enjoy the weekend, everyone.
Keep punching.
Sports Day for Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And Red Energy. Born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
Yes, this is Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. If you've just joined us, you can give us a call on the Harcourt's open line. It is still 13 13 32. And to say thanks to all our healthcare workers in Victoria, Macca's are shouting any healthcare workers a free small McCafe hot drink or a medium soft drink
good
until
stuff.
August 19.
Very good.
Coming up in this hour, it's one not to be missed. Melbourne Storm footy boss.
Well, he's the boss.
Frank Panisi, who is one step above the coach. He is currently mid-wicket at the SCG, we're told, and he's about to join us just minutes ahead of their game time.
Next to the Jared Healy stand, the SCG.
Yeah, well, just in the shadows. and, of course, it's a big game up there against the Roosters. And then we're going to talk to footy royalty by popular demand. Tim Jepp is going to join us. And Jeppy's been around for a long, long time, so a lot of good players, and he's got another team that could well go on and win the flag.
You've been telling me, Jared, all day today that you've got something special for Jeppy, but you won't tell me what it is.
Save it.
Okay, right now it's time for this.
Time for a Sports Day news update for Tyre Power. Selected Trumo tyres. Buy three, get one free.
Still haven't worked out what it is. It'll come to me.
Now, Jared, when I was driving home from Footy Classified last night, I thought...
What time was it on last night? I missed it.
Quarter to three in the morning.
Okay.
No, I'm busy.
Give me the highlights.
It was actually a very good show. But, Caro...
Port Adelaide Inns, Motlop Mays, Outs, Sutcliffe lineup.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, Motlop back. He's good.
Yeah.
Motlop back. He's
good player, Motlop.
He is. But I thought Caro went under the radar with something that she said. And
you're about to put it on the radar.
You and I both like when Caro goes with something because you just know it's spot on. She doesn't get anything wrong, ever.
Mm-hmm.
She had this to say about Lockie Hunter on Footy Classified last night.
Another big name player who's also been linked to the Brisbane Lions, although they deny it, is Lachie Hunter. Wanted to play last week, but was sent down to the twos, or I think there was a disagreement over whether he had a calf injury or not. He wanted to play. He said, all right, well, if you're not going to play me in the seniors, I'll play in the twos. Brisbane denied that they have interest in Lachie Hunter. I'm not quite sure whether that's right or not. They feel if he was to leave the Bulldogs, it would be to a Victorian club, Sam. I'm just hearing that there might not be all well between the Western Bulldogs and Lachie Hunter at the moment.
Well, there's a little hand grenade from Caro. And whilst
I think that was a C4 grenade.
90% with you on Caro doesn't get it wrong. I'll just throw one at you, Anastasia Palaszczuk. She just had a little blooper there earlier in the season.
Well, not even Bradman batted at 100.
99.4.
But is Jared in on a semi-serious note. I mean, I know he had his huge blunder earlier in the year, but it was only 2 months prior to that he was named vice-captain.
Indeed.
Signed a long-term deal.
Yep.
And now it sounds like, according to Caro, it's not all things well between him and the coach.
Well, look, the hand grenade's been thrown. Yeah. There's shrapnel all over the place. Bodies have been hit. Let's just see what sort of filters out from now, because obviously it's out in the public domain.
Yeah.
People will be asking the question, and then we'll get the answers. Now, they may not be factual answers. They may just be fictitious ones, but at least we'll get an opportunity to know that there may well be a problem.
Also, Jared, he's incredibly, and I'm stating the obvious here, incredibly important to that midfield.
Absolutely.
Is he not?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that everyone's talking about Dunkley being back, and it's great that he's back, and McRae and Bailey Smith's having one of the great second years of that we've ever seen. But Lachie Hunter in that team is integral to them going forward.
I would have thought so, and you just can't keep staying young and just keep getting draft picks.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to have a good side to be able to do that, like the Giants. And the Dogs are still young. They won the premiership in 2016 as a young side. They got younger and they kept getting younger. Well, it's now time for the Dogs to start growing from puppies to dogs again and start napping at yapping at a few ankles.
Giants are the Swans tonight at Optus. The Swans have been competitive for weeks now, Jared. How do you see tonight playing out? And is the bigger ground at Optus Stadium going to have an impact?
Bigger than the SCG?
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of the obsession
ground
with the
advantage.
Ground size.
Yep.
No, I'm not a huge fan of that. I think the Swans are going okay, but that's all they're going. I mean, their young guys are okay, but they're not absolutely starring. They've got some serious injuries.
Mm.
And the Giants, we'll find out tonight whether they're fair dinkum or not. I mean, they're either in this to win it, or are they just sort of getting through this COVID period just doing enough? Just, they should smack them.
I'm with you, Jared. On paper, particularly them forward of the ball, you know, you've got Himmelberg, Cameron, and Finlayson all forward of the footy.
Yep.
And the back six for the Swans, Cunningham, Rampy, Fox, Lloyd, Melican, Dawson. I mean,
well, they've got a couple. Fox is playing tall. He's actually going okay.
He's going okay. And Rampy, we know, has been playing well as a tall.
To me, it's their midfield. I mean, their midfield is struggles. They've got to fix that midfield up.
Sinclair, Rowbottom, Papley and Mills listed on the ball to start with.
Yeah, well, they're okay. But as a collective, they're really struggling.
Yep.
I'll be interested to see how many goals Papley kicked, because he's actually been a bit dry the last few weeks.
I reckon he's kicked one goal too the last 2 weeks. He's been a little bit off the boil, but we digress. That was for Tyre Power, keeping the Australian public safe on the roads in difficult times. Tyrepower.com.au. We've got more Sports Day on the way. Storm boss Frank Panisi at the middle of the SCG, as Jared said, and our amazing Storm get set to tackle the reigning premiers. That's next on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home.
Welcome back to Sports Day. You're listening thanks to Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. A couple of big outs for the Melbourne Storm tonight, Scoop.
They're
both
big outs.
Their names are both begin with Cam, and they're pretty good players in Smith and Munster.
Yep.
The bloke who, though, will have it completely under control, joins us on the line, Frank Panisi, the Melbourne Storm. We'll just call him the footy boss. I know there's a coach there, but Frank, he makes all the big
He's
decisions.
In charge.
Welcome to you, Frank.
Great to be on, Jared.
How's the SCG wicket? You going to bat or you going to bowl tonight?
Looks pretty green, Jared. I think we might have a bowl first, I think.
It's been a while since you've been back in Sydney, but not so much for the next few weeks. from all reports, you're going to be there on a regular basis. So what a great game tonight against the Roosters to establish a winning run in New South Wales and Sydney.
Yeah, that's right, Jared. As you said, we haven't been here for a while. We've only basically been in Queensland for the last 7 weeks, with except one trip to Canberra, either at Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane or the Sunshine Coast Stadium, which we, for this year, call home. But yeah, for here tonight and here next week against Parramatta over at Bankwest, and then 2 weeks after that at ANZ. So yeah, three times in the next 4 weeks. But as you said, what a way to start against the Roosters. It doesn't get any tougher than this.
Now, I don't want to be scurrilous, but I'm going to be. If I'm the Brisbane Broncos, and I know there's a lot of noise about them approaching Cam Smith to go up there and play, I think they would be far better served, Frank, in going for the most successful double act in the sport in this country, and that is the Bellamy-Panisi 1-2 punch. Would you consider taking over the Broncos if they gave you the opportunity?
Jared, we're really enjoying our time in Queensland, the weather and everything else. But Melbourne's our home, Jared. We're not sure when we'll be back, but we'll be back. We're really enjoying our time up there in the Sunshine Coast. We're really proud to be call Melbourne home, both as a football team and where we live. As I said, we'll be back. I'm not sure when, but we'll be back shortly.
Well, I'm glad you answered it that way, but it was just my backhanded way of saying you've been fantastic for the code and for your club in this sport. And it's hard to believe that the Broncos, such a powerful code for us so long since their inception, are in such a hole.
Yeah, I just have to be their low light. And, you know, in a very proud history, they started 10 years before the Storm in 1988 and have won a lot of premierships. And, you know, they are the big team in Queensland, the street teams here, the Titans, North Queens Cowboys. But Broncos are the original team, and it's the Queensland team. So to see what they're going through now, I think, you know, obviously there might be a lot of opposition who despise them. But, you know, it's sad. It's sad for them. It's sad for their great history, and it's sad for the game. The game needs a strong Brisbane Broncos team, and yeah, they've certainly got some work to do.
Well said, Frank. The fact that the absence of Cam Smith and the team's ability to win without him, obviously you'd prefer him there than not, but is it important at this stage of the club's and the team's development that they learn to live without him and learn to win without him, because he's not going to be there forever, even though he's playing like he might be?
Yeah, you've got a fair point there, Sam. I think you look at this fixture and you have it on. We've had this on the back of our mind, and the Roosters at the Sydney Cricket Ground, and to think that we're going to go play here without both Cameron Smith and Cameron Munster can be seen as daunting. And don't get me wrong, we prefer to have them in our lineup tonight. But as you said, look, we're in a good position at the moment. We're second on the ladder. We've still got to wait 6 or 7 weeks to go before the finals. Rather than being a challenge, we see it as a great opportunity for a lot of young players, you know, such as Jerome Hughes, to really take over the team tonight as halfback. Yep. Brandon Smith comes in at 9 and Ryan Pappenhuyzen at fullback. So it's a great opportunity. And, you know, we know, you know, Smithy and Cameron Munster will be back, if not next week, the week after that. So this is a great opportunity to see how those young players go without those.
And the Dragons are looking for a new coach?
Yeah, Paul McGregor, they parted ways this afternoon. So he's been there since 2014. He's a bit of a club legend at St George. He had a great decorated career there at Illawarra, then St George, and then they merged. And he's coached him for over 150 games. So amazing, Jared. He's the fourth coach this year to lose his position or leave. And given there's 16 coaches, that's a quarter of the coaches. I can't remember another season like it. So, you know, whether the whole COVID thing, and it's got to everyone, I'm not too sure, but to lose four coaches in a season, a quarter of your coaches, that's a fair whack. So, again, it's unprecedented at times in lots of ways.
And this is in the season where only, 3 months ago, we were all in hibernation or forced hibernation, both the two major football codes and the couple of minor football codes, all sitting around saying, well, the one thing we can't do is waste money sacking coaches. And yet down the track, we've got four scalps on the NRL belt, and who knows what's going to happen in the AFL world.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense, does it, Jared? Like, you're right, not just from a budget point of view, but this is our first year of the football cap, you know, the soft cap that we have, just like the AFL for off-field things. So it just doesn't make sense at all. But look, those clubs have got their reasons. I don't like coaches being sacked at all, let alone mid-season or towards the back end. I thought they could have just persevered, but they've got their reasons. So, you know, unless you're in those four walls, you don't really know. But I'm certainly not a fan of it.
Carlton, a couple of years ago, Frank, they made Brendan Bolton part of staff. Now, the beauty of that, obviously, is that you're not locked into a multi-year huge financial payout. Obviously, there's going to be a payout of some description, like everybody who gets moved on if they're employees. But do you think that is a method that the game can actually take to avoid such wasted money in the era of the soft cap?
Oh, I think it has to, Jared. It all depend on who, but I mean, obviously, if a coach of the calibre of Craig Bellamy, you're not going to attract a coach of his status to a to your club by getting those type of things. But a young coach, up-and-coming coach, first-year coach, I just think that makes a lot of sense. And I think it's definitely the way to go. Yeah, young coaches who are just coming in for their first head coach, yeah, they won't balk at it because they just want an opportunity. So it's definitely the way to go.
So given that at some stage in the, I guess, not-so-distant future, you're going to be looking for a new coach. Craig's already put that on the public agenda. Who do you think are the two or three names out there that you'd like to see throw the hat in the ring for coaching? Not blokes that are already there, blokes that are assistant coaches, but people you've run into, and maybe assistant coaches, that you think have potentially got the medal to be able to do it.
Yeah, look, that's a decision that's going to be made by the, you know, the board and our CEO, Dave Donaghy. And, you know, I've been there 13 seasons. You know, I'd like to think that I'd be able to have an input in some capacity. But, and I've already made it clear that I think the next coach should be a coach that has come through the system.
Yep.
And I think there's that many Craig Bellamy coaches either coaching out there now at other clubs or in our current club, our assistant coaches. I mean, I just think with the DNA and the system that he's created over the last 18 seasons, I think my preference would be to see a Craig Bellamy coach. So rather than name anyone, I think he could get a pool of them. Some of those are going to be unavailable because they're mid-contract elsewhere. But yep. I'd like to think that's where the club, and I think the club will look there towards who's been in the Craig Bellamy system over those 18 seasons. I think that will be the first port of call. And if they can't find anyone there, then they'll look outside. But I think that's the way the club will go. But having said that, Jared, we haven't given up on getting to Craig and maybe getting one more year or even two out of him. I think there's still life I was going to say old dog, but I better not say that in case he's listening. But I think there's plenty of life in him as a coach, and I just think he's coaching as good as I've ever seen him. I've been with him for 13 seasons, and you know, he's the young players are giving him plenty of energy and fresh ideas, and he's got great staff around him. So I haven't totally given up on Craig doing at least one more year post next year.
Any chance that we could get Tevita Pangai Jr. down to play for the Storm?
Oh, look, it's probably not, to be honest with you. You know, I think, you know, obviously he's got his, you know, he's had a, you know, a fair publicised, some issues. You know, he gets suspended a fair bit. He's certainly a talent, you know, he's a player that any club would like in their team. But, yeah, probably not at this stage. I think, you know, I just think probably would, you know, lots of reasons, salary cap, and it's probably a position that we're probably not really looking for. So, look, he'll find a club. He's a talented player. Yep. If he, you know, curbs his ways both on and off the field, he's going to be an asset to wherever he goes.
And, Frank, how much sleep have you lost over the thought of some Storm players breaching COVID protocols? And since the...
We don't do that at the Storm.
Since the 10 Broncos found themselves wandering from a restaurant to a pub, have you...
Read the Riot Act.
That's right. Have you reminded gently some of the players at the Storm?
Yeah, so you just got to continually do it and what they can and can't do. Last Saturday, we went from having on what they call stage two restrictions, where we could go to cafes and restaurants and shops, to basically now for the rest of the season, we're locked in the resort. We can't go. So there's no confusion. There's no way, can I go there or can't I go there? We just can't leave the resort except for training, playing, or for a medical emergency. So, look, the players, look, they're young men, and, you know, we just got to make sure as leaders they don't become complacent and, you know, just want to sneak off for a coffee or get something else. But
Or a game of tennis.
I'm pretty confident on the tennis, Sam. I reckon they're watching some play tennis. There'd be no hurry for them to run to the tennis court. So I'm pretty confident in that area. But, look, yeah, they're young men, and you just got to continually remind them, and they remind each other. And look, I'm confident the boys will. You can never be guaranteed, but I think we've got a good group, and they understand the consequences. It's getting into a really important stage of the season, so you know, one of the main reasons they don't want to do it, they don't want to put extra pressure on the team by having, you know, some type of you know, media hype. And the other thing too, they don't want to be missing for 2 weeks. You just, it's that's as well as the financial fine and what it does to the game and the potential risk that you do carry as well. Yeah, to be missing for 2 weeks from training and playing, I think that's the greatest motivator that prevents them as well as all the other reasons.
Yeah, and St. Peter Vlandis is looking to minimise the deficit that everybody is going to have to deal with. It's 20,000 straight, whipped straight out of your pocket, it seems. So plenty of reasons to behave. Frank, appreciate your time tonight. Good luck against the Roosters. It's a must-watch, and we're hoping the Storm continue in its winning ways, given that it's going to be probably a pretty close contest. Hope you get through the match.
Thanks, Frank.
Now, there's been some great moments here in the cricket ground, Jared, as you know, and hopefully tonight's another one.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep on building those good moments. It's been an exciting season to date, and let's hope we get another exciting game tonight with the Storm getting over the Roosters, maybe by 1 point.
Frank Panisi there for Polaris Off-Road Australia. Follow on Instagram today. Three of the last four matches between the Storm and the Roosters have been extra time thrillers and a 2-point march. I tell you what, if the Storm, who was second, beat the Roosters without Smith and Munster, they're going to be hard to stop, aren't they? Didn't our boys North write them off earlier?
Oh, yeah, they write them off all the time, but that's just in their DNA. They just continually write them off. I mean, this is really, we win this. This is really an embarrassment for the Roosters.
Gee whiz. This is Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. More sports after this.
Welcome back to Sports Day. And back through popular demand is one of the most influential people in the Eagles camp. It is Tim Jepp. He's been there for the best part of three decades, and he joins us on the line. Welcome back to you, Jeppy. And the good news is you've just left match committee, so we're going to get all the inside information. This is fantastic stuff. Who's getting the flick and who's coming in?
Yes. Well, we haven't, as the answer was always going to be, we haven't quite made up our mind yet.
You're actually having a really interesting season, Jeppy. You're on top of the ladder or close enough to. You've got a fantastic group playing pretty good footy, and yet you've had to come from behind three times out of the last 3 weeks. You have an incredibly accurate forward line, which means that your efficiency is well and truly up. So there's a few red flags for you, even though your last 6 weeks have been borderline fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's probably the truth of it is that we've played in those 6 weeks, for one or two or three quarters, we've played fantastic football. But I think, as Simo mentioned earlier in the week, we just haven't quite put, or we haven't put four quarters together yet. Now, that can be a good thing or a bad thing. It means we could be building towards it. But we'd obviously much rather play from in front and play a good four quarters of footy and win easily. But it's a hard comp and those things don't happen all the time.
Jeppy, without giving away state secrets, can you just give us a small insight into what happens in the coach's box to arrest momentum? Jared says three of the last 3 weeks, but not all clubs can do it. You know, some clubs just can't get the momentum back to the point where they put themselves in a position to win the game. Carlton looked like they were going really well for a period of time, and yet you're able to not only stop them, but then get yourselves going.
Well, two things. One, you've got to have a really smart coach, someone who knows tactically what to do. And, you know, you always hear people talk about pulling the levers or making moves.
Yep.
The real good coaches are the boys that can coach during and make the good decisions during the game. And Simo is certainly one of those. He can come up. He sees the game so well. And he's always thinking ahead. Or if things aren't working out, he's got some moves, and the team know what we want to do if we want to change things up. So that's one part of it. I think someone like Carlton, there's also a bit of a history comes into it. I mean, obviously we all follow teams so closely, but when we're studying teams, one thing about, I think it's an obvious fact, I mean, in 20 games under Teague, Carlton have had 30 points spin around 13 times. So you know that if you're able to put pressure on them at some stage, you're possibly going to be able to get them back. And that's what happened in that game. You know, they started really well, and they were terrific, Carlton. The pressure they brought early was fantastic. But we just knew that we can get going. When we get moving, we got moving pretty quick, and we scored quickly and got ourselves back in the game. So it's really the coach does drive that. And Simo is very wary. He doesn't panic. He's very matter-of-fact, and he knows, you know, what he wants to do or if he wants to change it up. The players know the reason he's doing it. And I think at halftime, I think it got back to a bit of the old fashion boys, come on. I think he gave them a bit of the old, let's get going at halftime too last week too. So every now and then there's a bit of the old stick comes into play.
Bit of a spray, Jared.
Sounds like he unloaded one. Doesn't unload too often, Simo, evidently. But, Jeppy, I've been thinking, and that's an unusual situation for me, I know. But as we've been discussing, it's just been going through my mind. I was preparing a question for you about Luke Shuey, who I've got enormous admiration for. And I was going to sort of pose it in relation to Ben Cousins, and then I thought to myself, no. You have been there through the evolution from start to finish of three of the greatest midfields we've ever seen in the AFL, and that is the Mick Malthouse Premiership era. Then you had the John Worsfold Premiership era of midfields, where Mick had Kemp and Heady and, you name them, Fatty Lamb, who I used to play, go head-to-head with occasionally. And then you've got this incredible group with John Worsfold, who had Judd and Cousins and Kerr.
Embley.
There was a couple of others in there. And now you've got this
Fletcher,
group.
Stengline.
Fletcher's the one I was thinking of.
Forget about Stengline.
But he played an amazing role.
Yeah.
So
he was very pivotal in that team. Tyson was a very important get, and we got him back.
Yeah. So I'm going to get to my question, re Luke Shuey, but I'm just preparing you for your first assignment for us here on Sports Day, and that is, if you wouldn't mind, to come up with your starting lineup of midfielders of all those that have played in your time at the West Coast Eagles.
Wow,
ruck, centreman. Ruck Rover, Rover, Wing Wing. Good luck with that. Matera Mainwaring come to mind. Wing Wing. And I'll give you two on the bench just to make sure you don't upset more than about a dozen.
As a rotation.
Sorry, when do you want me to ask this? In a few weeks' time?
I'm going to give you 7 days to give it all. You've got some ruckman to choose from.
I'm excited for this.
Oh, no, this is going to be good.
This is great.
So let me just then now get to my first question, and I'll forget the comparison with Ben Cousins. We'll just let that evolve as you give us your best eight. Luke Shuey is an amazing player, and I still don't think he is given enough credit. I think he's played one of the greatest grand finals I've ever seen by an individual, and he's just elevated himself. No one's talking about the fact that he's now your captain. He's actually playing better football as your captain than he has at any other stage, and he's doing so carrying an injury a month ago when he had those ribs. It must be great to have him run out as your leader.
Yeah, he's done a fantastic job. He's just such a powerful player, but he's, again, as a great player, though, he always finds a bit of time. And he can use the ball on either side. And I think that's probably his greatest strength. I mean, there was a kick he did last week. I don't know if you remember. He got the ball just inside 50. And JK hadn't been going great. He just turned and he just hit and he made JK lead to the ball. And he might have missed the goal, but it was certainly a great... He has three or four of those sort of kicks every week. But he's tough. Even in the last few weeks, just his smothering. He's always been a great one on smothering. You and I have often talked about smothering, Jared.
Helped last
and
night,
he
didn't
is one of. Well, absolutely. He is one of the great smothers. He did one in a game I think I told you, the last time I saw him was Merv Cain in the 72 grand fight. I mean, off the boot, ball doesn't hit the ground, and he hits a target inside 50.
Yeah, we showed it on the couch last week.
Yeah, he's unique. He's unique. But he's also been through a lot too, and he's very, he loves coming from over from the eastern states and coming to Perth and then becoming captain. Like Shannon, another one, South Australian. And Shannon and Luke are really good mates, and I think Shannon's really helped Boots coming through, but he's very well respected by all the players in the team because he'll play. You have to kill him not to play. Now he's tough, tough as.
So you've got a little bit of chop meat coming up this week with the Hawks. They're going to play some kids. So these are games are sometimes more difficult than lining up in the big games when you've had a side with so much success as yours. But you're building for your second, hopefully your second premiership. You've now played in two grand finals under Adam Simpson. But you've got the Giants the following week, and that's a pretty big make or break game for both clubs.
Absolutely. But look, you hear every coach say it, every person involved in an AFL team, you cannot take any team lightly in this competition. And Hawthorn are an outstanding footy club with an outstanding coach who they will be licking their wounds after their performance the other night, and they'll come out, no matter who's playing for them, they'll come out with a... they'll be ready for us. We'll be ready for them, but they'll be certainly ready to put on a big effort, I would think.
So you're telling us to take it 1 week at a time. Before you leave us, Fremantle are doing some good things. I really like their 22 and unders. And the coach has had an impact.
Absolutely. I think Freo of them. Well, I think the great thing, if I was a Fremantle supporter and if I was watching Fremantle really closely, is they've been in every game and they don't give up. They're resilient and they've been out there and they've had some, you know, big players out, a lot of injuries. You know, blokes not playing. You can almost pick a team that's not playing. But, gee, they go out and they're giving it all and their young midfield look good. I've always liked Tabiner. I think Tabiner's an underrated player, and I think when he really gets in belief in himself, he's going to be very hard to stop. Young Darcy, the rear ruckman, looks really good to me. And obviously, Scherer and Brayshaw, the two high draft picks, look terrific. And I just like their backline. I mean, it just doesn't matter who plays in their backline. I know Michael Pryor, their coach, backline coach. He's a fantastic coach.
Highly recommended, Michael Pryor.
He's done a wonderful job because they just play for each other. And they play undersized, out of position, on smalls, on talls, and they play very well together. So that's a sign of good coaching. But obviously, Longy's done a good job too in coming in. And an ex-Fremantle boy, he was a great player there until he was injured. So I think it all goes well for them.
And Luke Ryan having a terrific year, and they've still got Pierce to come back, who's in All-Australian form before he got injured. Cheppy, as we let you go, Port Adelaide are top of the ladder. Who do West Coast see as their main rival for the premiership, do you think? Who's the best team in it right now?
And don't give us 1 week at a time, Jeppy.
No, I won't give you 1 week at a time, but I think Port are a terrific team. I really like the Lions. I think the Lions play real finals footy. Mm. And if you've got to play the Lions at the Gabba, let's get going. That's a big favour for them. Richmond. Richmond played with I reckon there's 8 guys to come back into that Richmond team, and that was a cracking game against Port the other day. But Port have taken it all before them. And if Dixon can stand up the whole season, they'll be very hard to beat. And the good young Hale boy going in there, Mitchie Georgiades, he's going to be a player, that kid.
You're not happy he got out of the state. Not happy he got out of WA.
Filthy. Jeppy, great to have you on as well. Can't wait for the best West Coast midfield next week.
That is going to be good.
Thanks for joining us.
That's going on the couch as well, Jeppy.
You're good. Thank you.
It's going national.
Tim Jepp there, the second edition of Jeppy Weekly. I tell you what,
it's taking off.
It's going to take off. Jared, what's the bet that his midfield next week makes about 3 different other media websites?
I think it'll certainly make Foxes.
It's $1.07. Tim Jepp there. This is Sports Day. More for Wilson Homes right after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. It's all for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Now, for the Australian-made logo, be sure it's Aussie. Before we wrap up for Wilson Homes, early tonight, Jared, we spoke with Essendon midfielder Darcy Parrish. Another good game from him.
I like Darcy
night.
As a player. Always have.
Yep.
I think he's been harshly treated at selection.
Completely
over the
agree.
Journey, but he has just busted the door down.
And started as a high half forward, really.
Yep.
He's now becoming more of a true midfielder, which is great because that's where he played for the Geelong Falcons. Anyway, here was our chat with young Darcy. Darcy, thanks for your time. Where were you when you were watching Isaac Rankin decide the game?
G'day, boys. Yeah, I was pretty nervous at that point when Isaac had the ball. I think I was in between the goal and himself, so I was just praying that he shanked it and I just got it out of bounds. So but it was nerve-wracking them last few minutes, but it would have been good for the spectators to watch, I'm sure.
No, it was a fantastic spectacle. I'm always left a little bit wanting with draws, Darcy. Would you have liked to have played extra time?
I would have liked. It was such a weird feeling. I was speaking to Andy and a few of the other boys as well. I wasn't too sure whether to be upset or happy. It was sort of a weird feeling amongst the group. But yeah, extra time would have been nice, and to get a decider, I suppose, would be a bit better feeling. So, draw is definitely different, and I think that's my first one I've been a part of.
Well, let's hope you don't play in too many more because they are weird. I reckon there's always a winner and a loser in a draw. But last night it was a little bit hard to even find that winner and loser because the Suns dominated to half time. You dominated the second half. You should have put them away. You didn't. And then they had the final chance to win the game. So it was very much a draw.
Yeah, it definitely was. Like you said, the Suns got out to a bit of a fire in that first half. And I guess to the boys' credits, we bounced back and stuck to our system and, really gritted it out. But couldn't get the win in the end, but 2 points is better than none, so we'll take it.
Darcy, we always hear players talk about, we train certain aspects of the game. If we're in front late, Jared, if the score's a level and we need to score, if we're a point behind, that all happened. All those 3 scenarios happened in the last 5 minutes. So as a mid, what are the sort of messages going around? What game style do you go towards? So late in the game and the scenario is changing so quickly.
Yeah, I guess it's all pretty different for each side, but we like to just keep it pretty similar to how we've played the whole game. So we try and say not play to save the game, just to play to win. So that's our mentality late, or if we're up, if we're down, it's just pretty similar throughout the whole quarter or different times of the game. So it's just sticking to our principles, sticking to our system, and really backing it in. And I guess everyone just playing their role to a T. So that's what we try and stick at.
So when you went in front late, Darcy, there wasn't the message to go around, particularly to the mids, to try to hold on to the footy and slow things down?
Oh, I guess you're reading the game in that way a little bit. It's sort of the way we play anyway. We want to maintain the ball and, yeah, get the ball as soon as we can so we can, I guess, fill up a bit of that time. But, yeah, we're still aiming to just play our way, and I guess that's the best way we know, and we just, yeah, try and do that.
A lot of people think I overemphasise the importance of a smother and being able to technically apply a smother in the game of footy. I think last night proved once again just how important it is with McGrath effectively, I think, saving you the game by his unbelievably good smother.
Yeah, it was a bloody good effort there from Andy there late. I guess, yeah, it just showed how important the smother is. So it saved us the game, and yeah, we got the result we did because of it, I think.
Can you tell me whether you practice that, whether you've been taught the technicalities of the smother, and or whether it's just an expectation that you know how to do it?
Yeah, I couldn't say too many times I've practiced the old smother at training, so it's probably just back to, yeah, I guess a bit of the way he's sort of played and grown up. I guess we always try and smother the ball and any way we can, but yeah, it's just a perfect opportunity for Pidge to just put the hands in front of it and stop that goal.
His season's been unbelievable. Jared and I have been speaking about Andy McGrath. Darcy, is he loom as the next captain, you reckon?
I guess, yeah, I'm pretty close with Andy, and yeah, the growth amongst the group and the respect he has amongst the group already at such a young age is extraordinary, and yeah, I'm very proud of him and to be his mate, and yeah, I think he's sort of got all them attributes to one day lead the club going forward. But he's had a terrific season so far, like you said, and his growth has been really important to our game and our system. And, hopefully he can continue that.
I saw him with Adrian Dodoro at Bay 101, the number one pizza place in Port Melbourne, a couple of years ago.
Coffee down there at Bay
just,
as well.
Yeah, just as he was being recruited. He's pretty good on the tooth as well. He just chewed through a family pizza pretty quickly.
Yeah, he's been munging on a few pieces in the up here, so he's got a good tooth.
He might be sinking his teeth into a new contract pretty soon, Jared, given he's out of contract.
Scoot McClure knows everybody's manager, and he gets all the details from these people. So tell McGrath, don't go anywhere near Scoop if he doesn't want it broadcast nationally.
No, that's mean. Darcy, you're in your fifth year of footy now. How long do you reckon it takes, or how long has it taken you to feel really comfortable at the level?
Yeah, I guess for me, probably, I reckon last year it sort of, my confidence and belief really stuck in.
Yep.
I guess I started the season off in the twos and there wasn't a spot for me in the side, but then that belief and that confidence, I guess, grew throughout the year, and spoke to Woosh and the coaches, and they just told me to stick to my strengths and, yeah, just believe in myself a fair bit, and then just took that in throughout most of the last year, and I felt really confident at the level, and, yeah, I think probably midway through last year's when that belief started the game.
By way of playing in the midfield, you are a ball getter and creator. How many do you need a quarter?
Oh, yeah, I'm not too sure. I'm not really fussed with the touches and that sort of thing and just trying to play my role. But I guess it was good last night to get a few tackles. The defensive efforts is what we really respect at the club. So that's always nice. And we've got plenty of blokes that can rotate through there. So I think a lot of blokes put their hand out last night and contributed, getting the ball or defensive acts, like you said. So it was good across the board.
Tough game, a couple of games coming up. You've got the Bombers, the Saints next at the Gabba, and then you've got the Tigers up in the Dreamtime game at the D, Dreamtime in Darwin.
Yeah, that'll be really special to play up there. So looking forward to that one. We've got coming off the short break this week, so looking after the bodies, but we're ready to go again, hopefully. So, it'd be a good couple of weeks, and hopefully we can all put it together and get a couple of wins.
Darcy, great having you on. Good luck for the rest of the year.
Appreciate it, boys. Thanks for having me.
Darcy Parrish there. Look for the trusted Australian-made logo to be sure it's authentically Australian-made. I know we chatted about this in the first hour, Jared, but now that you've had time to sleep on it, did you think Isaac Rankin did the right thing last night?
Or if no, he didn't. He should have kicked it straight through the middle.
So, but if you were Stewie Jew after the game,
wouldn't have had a problem with what he did. I mean, he could have handballed it off. He could have gone back. He could have done. He could have kicked it more accurately to the top of the square.
Yep.
Could have done a lot of things, but he took the responsibility. Mm. He had a crack. I haven't got a problem with that. I mean, his biggest issue was it was slightly inaccurate. Now, he could have kicked it down long and gone quicker.
Yep.
And if he had done that, people would have said, "Do you think he did the wrong thing rather than wasting time?" No, he made his call. But you live and die by your calls. He got it wrong in that he didn't get a point, or the team didn't get a point. But it's not the end of the earth, and I think the examination of that particular event has been well and truly overdone.
And, you know, the examination of that particular event has overshadowed, and I'm sure he'll be grateful for this, Ben King. I mean, the game should have been over earlier, because Ben King from 35 metres out, I put my glasses down.
As I said earlier with Lloydie, Ben King's goal was one of the most unbelievable goals I've seen from a big bloke in my time in football. That dexterity, that movement, it was the unbelievable. Agility. The agility and the speed.
And then he misses a set
and
shot.
And then nailed it, and then he missed one that he should have kicked. And once again, it is the plague of lying back, just leaning back when you kick.
Yeah.
It's going to cost someone a flag, or it's going to win someone a flag that doesn't do it. So we we'll keep on lean back watch right throughout the rest of this finals campaign or this season as we head to finals.
Okay, add lean back watch to home abuse. I like it. This has been Sports Day for Wilson.
I'll give you the people in the gun right now. Charlie Dixon.
Yeah, he likes a lean back.
Bailey Fritz leans back.
Harry Mackay leans back.
Danger leans back, way
Danger
back.
Danger does lean
He's
back.
A layback, Sally.
Yep.
So it kills you. Now, most of the time, 90% of the time, the layback kicks go to the right of screen, except if you're a left footer.
And then they go left. This has been Sports Day for Wilson Holmes. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the footy. We'll see you next week.